I want to talk a little bit to you about something that directly impacts my life every day. Every single day I deal with this. This little bag right here. This is Levi's bag. Levi carries this bag around with him everywhere. Now, it's not necessarily this bag, because sometimes we got to have our big backpack. And within this backpack, there is no telling how many toys or toy guns, two or three changes of clothes, oftentimes boots and muck boots, because you never know what you're going to get into, right? A couple of hats, a knife or two, a pocket watch, a lighter that doesn't work, and who knows what else is in here, right? Nobody knows, do they? He doesn't even know. He's got four or five of these bags laying around. He's got all this stuff in, and he never can find what he's looking for. And then you have to interpret a four-year-old to try to figure out what it is he's looking for, and then you have to get it. So sometimes you end up having to carry around another bag, because everything that you needed wasn't in those first two bags. So you end up carrying even more stuff around. And then before you know it, you look like you do every time you go to Wally World, and you said, I can do it in one trip. I got it. And so you end up with your arms full of those white plastic bags trying to waddle in there and make it inside the house. And then you carry so much stuff around, and we carry so much stuff around, that we even begin to have luggage with wheels on the bottom of it, don't we? Because we got so much stuff we got to carry around, we got to tow it around with us. So they make this baggage on wheels, and we wheel this around. And some of us have so much baggage that we tow it around that we really need a U-Haul truck to tow it around behind us. And it's all because we just got so much stuff that we don't know how to get rid of. We've got all this extra baggage that we're trying to tote around and we're trying to carry around everywhere with us that really we just finally need to find a good place to just let it all go, to get rid of it. So what is all this baggage? Well, we've got all kinds of baggage at the house. We've got books and magazines and newspapers and newspaper clippings and old uniforms and trophies and cookbooks and a bunch of stuff that we don't know, and we finally call all of this stuff after a period of time antiques, don't we? So we make ourselves feel good about it. And the only reason we get rid of some of that stuff is because we've gotten a new thing that we like to keep, like roosters or chickens or cow decorations or whatever it is for you. And we look at that and we go over to someone else's house and we're so quick, we go, look at all that junk they got. Look at all that stuff. They got all that junk. Did you see all the junk they got piled up around the house? All that stuff they carry around. They don't ever clean the house out. They all carrying around always that baggage. And you know what? You leave their house and you talk about that in the car on the way home. And you know what you go home to? All your junk. And you go in there, but it ain't your junk because all your stuff's important to you. And it's real important. And it's antiques and it's all this stuff that's real sentimental to you. But what it really is really baggage. And sometimes it would behoove us to do a good garage sale, a good yard sale, maybe just take it out to the driveway and throw it out in the trash, because it's junk, it's garbage. But what it really is this baggage that we're lugging around everywhere that we just don't want to let go of. And we can all see where this is going very clearly, that the same thing is true for our spiritual lives. We carry around a lot of stuff. And what it started as was maybe when you were a child. Maybe a friend, a so near dear friend to you that made fun of you because you wore glasses or you had freckles or because you didn't wear clothes like he had or she had. You weren't up to speed with everybody else with the coolest games and the greatest technology. Maybe it turned into a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you carried all through school and they broke your heart. Maybe it was a decision made on one of those nights. Maybe it was a decision to be at a certain place at a certain time that you had no reason to be at, that you knew better than to be there. And you've toted that around all your life. Maybe it's gotten older and it baggage turned into a ex-wife or an ex-husband. Maybe it turned into a erring child. Or maybe it turned into a parent that you just can't get rid of to get off your back so that you can serve God. And you lug it around with you everywhere you go. It's baggage. And we all have some sort of baggage. And we all tend to, for whatever reason it is, want to carry it around and keep it around like Levi's bag that he has all this stuff in that he doesn't need. And we try to drag it everywhere we go, all the time, all our lives. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The difficulty of freeing ourselves from physical clutter metaphorically parallels difficulties to getting rid of our spiritual clutter. Because, see, we pile up all of that stuff. And we take up space with all this junk that becomes a weight that we're having to tote around. A weight that we can't bear. A weight that shows itself in many different vices, in many different forms, as we see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, tells us that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put it off. We're told to put off the old man, the symbolism in which we become Christians, of putting to death our old man. And putting him to death means killing him and he lives no more. As Romans 6 so clearly displays to us as we read it, that we are then buried in that old man. Just as Christ was buried into the grave. And we rise up in newness of life, just as Christ was risen from the dead. But too many people, they are in the business of resurrecting the dead, as I've said before. And trailing around and lugging around luggage that is really baggage. That really should be left alone. And left where you put it in the grave. Left where you put it when you killed it. And to put it off. And to put off the old man and put off that weight. And so many times we stir up problems rather than resolve conflict with these things. We have this nagging desire of this baggage that, and when someone steps on us or crosses our path, instead of resolving the problem, we open up another bag that we're so tired of carrying around as it is. And we forget the fact that it's just as easy as putting that bag and leaving it over there in the corner and not dragging it around anymore. So do you put off cleaning your house? I mean that as best way I can. I typically wear blindfolds when looking at a mess in somebody's house. It's got to be pretty rough for me to even care. I mean, you don't believe me, get in my truck sometime. That work truck is going to have all kinds of junk in the floor of it, grease and dirt and dust, and you better hope that you ain't wearing your good Sunday clothes when you get in the truck. Because they ain't going to be good Sunday clothes very long. But do you put off cleaning your house? Do you have stacks of egg cartons because I might have some chickens one day? And you've got 45 stacks of egg cartons from all the eggs you bought at Aldi's. Because I might have chickens one day and I'm going to need a place to put all them eggs. Or you might have all this mulch piled up over there behind the house because before too long we're going to do that landscaping. I know it. And I went and I bought all that mulch on sale. I bought 45 bags of mulch and I've got it over there in the corner of the garage. And all it's doing is it's becoming a snake nest, you know. What is it that you just got lying around your house, you're just building up more and more of that you really need to clean out? Is it hate and anger? Is it lying and deceitfulness? Is it lust and pornography, adultery, fornication? Is it a desire of murder or hate that if they died tomorrow, I would be a happier person? You put off cleaning your house and getting rid of those feelings and getting rid of that stuff. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. A lot of people keep a lot of junk hanging around. Lots and lots of junk. And the only reason they clean it out is to get more junk. Like they get rid of anger to only have filthy language come in. They get rid of blasphemy only to have lust enter in. This past week while I was in Chattanooga, I was reminded of a few things. First thing, why I don't live in Chattanooga. Why I need to belong in a city with less than 10,000 people in it. That's the place, that's where I belong. And I know that. I'm grateful for that. The second thing I realized is that the fields are white for harvest. There's a lot of people out there that are in the world, that are filled with the world and love the world and want nothing to do with God. Hundreds of millions of people that run around like that. The third thing that I realized, which is a very small group of people, and when I thought about, when I was thinking about this, I thought, the filthy language out of your mouth. We're in a class with 20 men, and most of them do not speak cleanly, by any stretch of the imagination. But it is so amazing to me, as I looked at it from the outside in, as me and some of the other guys talked about this, how quickly you realize those that don't talk that way, and you migrate to them. And you have a connection with them. Because you don't do those things. Because you've put off an old man. So I got to get a new friend from Missouri. Because he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I could tell right away that you weren't like the rest of them because you didn't cuss all the time like they did. He said, we went to class for 2.5 days together, ate three meals a day together, and you didn't say anything profane. You didn't say anything off color. You didn't tell any dirty jokes. You didn't laugh at the dirty jokes. He said, I knew that you were something else. And we migrated together, and we held together because we put off something that the rest of the world hadn't. It's so easy that if you'll just speak right and you'll talk about the things that are honorable to God instead of honoring the world, if you'll just speak correctly, it's amazing how many people will join your group. How many people want just that first person to stand up and say, you know, I've put off that baggage. I don't tote that around anymore. So we need to clean our house and we need to get rid of that junk that stains us, that makes us look bad, that makes us look like the world. And one of the ways in which we can clean our house is pruning our branches. Now in John chapter 15, Jesus is specifically talking to how he is the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Jesus is talking about you bearing good fruit for him. What if we applied the same thing to our life? And you think about your life as you are the vine. And everything that you do and everything that you are a part of is a branch of you. It's something that spits out off of you. And is that branch off of you bearing good fruit for you? Or is it bearing bad fruit? Or is it bearing fruit at all? And I say we should have the same application to our lives. That if there is an area of your life that you are the vine of and that is a branch of you in which it bears no fruit, or it bears bad fruit, then why do you continue to let it be part of the vine that you are part of? And let it keep on going in your life? Why don't you cut off that branch before you become the branch that is cut off of the vine of Jesus Christ? Why is it that you let it linger around? Should you not cut it off, let it wither away, and then let it be burned up? And so many times people think about it like sunk costs. Like, well, I'm already committed to this, so I hate to keep on keeping on. I hate to let it go. Cut it off. You don't need part of that life anymore. If that old piece of equipment's wore out and you wouldn't buy it again, then don't keep it around. You need to sell it. You need to get rid of it. Same thing in your life. If there's some part of your life that you know that isn't profitable for you anymore, that isn't bearing you fruit anymore, why do you continue letting it hang around? Well, I've let it hang around for 20 years. What's five more? Well, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't let that hang around in your house as it was just collecting trash and dust and dirt. Cut it off. Get rid of it. Let it go away before that is the thing which pulls you away from Jesus. So what are the branches that you need to cut off? Everyone's answer is different. Everyone's answer of the baggage they carry is different. Sure, we may have some similarities among us as a broad number as we are, that we may have some similarities with the baggage that we have, life experiences that we have encountered. But your baggage is your baggage. So what is it for you that you're dragging around that you need to leave behind, that you need to cut off, that you need to throw away, that no one needs to have in their life? Maybe it's emotional baggage, unresolved issues, negative emotions. It's an unhealthy mindset. It's comparison. Perhaps you're mocked or harassed or abused. Maybe it's pride. So many of these things linger around in our life far too long. And we struggle with a way to get rid of them. And it seems that no matter where I turn, I'm trapped. It seems that no matter how fast I try to run away, the enemy's faster. No matter how I try to quit my job, I go somewhere else, I'm treated the same way. No matter how much I try to love my spouse, I'm rejected and denied. No matter how much I try to get away from my parents and the toxic environment in which they live in and that they try to keep me in, I can't get out. And it becomes baggage in your life. Brothers and sisters, if you do not get rid of that baggage, if you do not get rid of that thing that is holding you back, your problems are not going to go away. They're going to get multiplied. And they're going to increase. And they're going to increase faster and faster. See, it may be something very simple that we don't think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, we eat. You know, sometimes when we get depressed, we eat. And we just kind of go and we eat. We do that when we get depressed. I do that. I don't think I can't eat a whole tub of cookie two-step from Bluebell ice cream. That top was a waste of money. I don't need that thing anymore. I ate the whole thing. And maybe I ate so much, you know, and that doesn't get it anymore. So now it's a bottle of wine. Now I eat my tub of ice cream and I'll drink my bottle of wine. And I can't get any release. I can't find any release from that beer. I can't find any release with that bottle of whiskey. So I'll work myself to death. You know, if the only way I can avoid being nagged and criticized and ridiculed is if I'm at work. And so I'll just stay there all the time. Just concerned with the things below over the things that are above. I'll buy whatever I want. Some people grieve, some people cope by spending money. Some people need more, and they need more, and they need more, and they never have enough. Money and spending and greed and debt. Weight upon weight upon weight on top of you. I will find that physical release with sex. If it's not my spouse, I'll find it some other place. I'll do whatever I have to do to find that release. Whether that's someone else, something else, doing it on my own, whatever it is, I'm going to find that release. time and time again, so many times, that baggage turns into something they can't get rid of, and they finally find a release for a little while with drugs. Getting high and getting stoned and not remembering and not caring, and just finally, I'm at peace. They'll be it for a little while. And see, the problem with all these things is we try to treat each one of these. You know, we try to treat our problem with food, with a diet. We try to treat alcohol with AA. We try to treat work with time off, or money and spending with a budget and tight constraints. Sex with God's alignment of sexual immorality is to be put off. And drugs, and we try to get rehab. But the problem is so many times, time and time again, these are just symptoms. These are symptoms of the problem. You see, it's just like when you have a cold. You can treat a stuffy nose. You can treat a sore throat. You can treat an aching ear. You can treat a fever. But if you don't get to the underlying cause of why you keep getting sick, you're going to keep getting sick. And you can alleviate some of those symptoms for a little while. But if your home is literally covered in dust and mold and allergens, you're going to keep getting sick. So many of these things are symptoms that we try to treat, when the solution to the problem is leaving all your baggage behind. And until you get rid of your baggage, until you get rid of the underlying issues, you'll never fully solve the symptoms of the problem. So you're carrying all your baggage. Emotional baggage, unsolved issues, anxiety, stress, anger, hate. You're harassed, abused, full of pride. And you're like me at the beginning. You've got all these bags, you know, like you're walking in the house from Walmart in one trip. And somebody throws the biggest bag of all at your feet, and that's sin. And you want to do one more, I'll just pick it up. I'll just carry it with me. I've carried everything else so long. I'm so strong. I'm so mighty. Look at everything I've got. But the thing is, this is a bag that you cannot carry. And you're not going to be able to get rid of on your own. You're not going to be able to solve this one by yourself. And so many people, they drag this bag around with them way too long. And they get to the end of the rope, as it were, and they feel like there's no more hope. Because I'm carrying all this stuff, and I'm carrying this sin, and then you try to tell them things like, you know, Jesus did not come to give you burden. He did not come to weigh you down. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But how can this be? I don't see any way out. Give up, give out, and I'm done. They're done spiritually. And so many times, far too often in the news as of lately, they're done physically as well. That they see no more purpose of life. Life at all, let alone life that is abundant. We have got to let our baggage go. We cannot let our baggage linger around any longer. We must forgive. We must confess, and we will be forgiven. You know, it's so important for us, and as Jesus teaches when He is teaching His disciples how to pray, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Brothers and sisters, forgiving someone else does far more for you than it does for them. You letting them go and releasing, that's about you. That's not about them being forgiven. That's about your heart. That's about you showing grace and you showing mercy. It's not about, well, I'm not going to forgive them if they don't ask for it. If they just ask, I'll forgive them. No, you won't. Because if you're really willing to forgive, you'd have already done it in your heart. You'd already gone to them and said, you know what? I don't hold that against you anymore. It's okay. We confess our sins. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Reminds me much of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is it that our baggage is? What did you come to this building this morning with as your baggage that you brought into God's place of worship, that you drug in here to worship God carrying baggage? Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness and sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Jesus asks, Jesus requests of you that all that junk that you're carrying around in your bags that you think you need because you might need to change his clothes and you might need to, he's telling you this is what you need to wear. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And when you've got that on, you're ready for anything that life throws at you. You're ready for any circumstance. You're ready for the finest of black tie affairs to the roughest of the dirty work when you're clothed with Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you tired of carrying around your bags everywhere you go, all day, every day? It's time for you to let it go. It's time for you to leave it at the door and bring it to the cross and leave it at the cross. Every care, every burden, he's ready to bear. If you're here this morning and you're ready to give up those bags, I've got great news for you. We're ready for you to give them up too. And if you want to do that, you want to hang up your bags, you want to leave them at that door, and you want to go up those stairs, and you want to dip in that water for the forgiveness of your sins so you can wash up, having buried away the old man, putting him off, cutting it off, and all the ties with all the world that is unfruitful for you, leave them at the door. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.